Three. Welcome to Outright TV, a video and podcast series bringing you stories of queer people and allies across the globe as we face this pandemic together. I'm Nazia Saeed, the Arabic Media Coordinator, and for today's episode, I'm talking to Maya Al-Hello in Toronto, in Canada. But I can see that Maya has... Oh, who is that?
Hello.
Hi. I'm Nazia. Who are you?
You have pretty hair.
Thank you.
I'm Quirona.
Quirona.
Yeah.
How pretty is your name? I like that.
You like it? You yeah. like it? We are all in quarantine.
We are.
Hi.
Hi, Maya. Hi.
Hi. I thought I'll give you a special morning. Good morning.
Sure. So who is that?
That is my socket puppet. I created it while in quarantine, you know, to eat their coping mechanisms.
Yeah. One of the things that people do in quarantine. So is there more?
More socket puppets? Yeah. Yeah, but they're not next to me.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, each of them has a character, and I mean, it's a newly discovered hobby, so I'm just like playing. You know, it's important to play.
I can see myself like three times, once and two times in your glasses. It's nice. Like, I like looking at it.
This is for the computer, actually, because I've been using, and I think everybody has been using their laptop and phones so much, and television. So,
especially at these times, we are doing a lot of screen time.
Screen time, exactly. Yeah. But it's always good to see the beautiful faces of our friends.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm not sick.
I am describing you as a feminist activist. How do you describe yourself?
Nazia, if I ever want to label myself as something, I would label myself as a feminist. Now, an activist is a label that can indicate anything. Mm. But I would definitely call myself a feminist.
Sure, sure. That's an amazing way of introducing yourself.
Thank you.
So what does life look like where you are in light of COVID-19 virus?
Oh, God. It's, in Toronto, we are good. I think everybody is in quarantine as usual. We are only... going out for essentials, food, basically. There isn't any curfew, so people are allowed to take walks. Mm-hmm. On the contrary of Beirut, where my home is. And it's been a long time in quarantine. It feels like it's been a long time. Mm-hmm. It's been a month, maybe, or something like that. A few weeks, 1 week plus minus. I've lost the count of days and time. Yeah. I'm not sure this is good or bad. best or bad. I'm privileged to be in a country where there's at least a proper reaction. Mm.
And a healthcare, probably.
And it made me realize something that I've already thought of, but I think as people who are concerned with social justice, we need to prioritize also healthcare in each and every country, because this is when, like, this is major. Where healthcare's importance is obvious. Yeah.
Yeah, instead of putting all these millions of money into arming and...
millions of money into...
Apparently, we do not need it at the time of crisis.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want to do with all this military, all these arms? You know, you take from education, you take from healthcare, and put them in buying arms, and then what? Are you gonna eat them? Yeah. Are they gonna put food on your table? No, it's education, that free access to education, that gives research its importance and open opportunities and potentials for discovering a cure, for example, for corona. It's not the weapons or more military men in the street or more police or, you know.
Sure.
Yes.
So how have you been impacted? Like, what impacted you the most? What have you found the hardest to cope with or adjust to during this time?
I'm a researcher, and my fieldwork is delayed for an unknown time. I'm also not fully employed because I'm a student, so now the semester is over, so I'm also worried about finances, but the university is trying its best in some way to accommodate. But for example, my fieldwork, as I mentioned, is delayed, maybe a few months, maybe a year. Uncertainty is horrible. But again, I feel like, yeah, I am privileged not to be stuck with people I don't like, for example, or people who are violent. I am in a house and I have my space. I feel safe here. So that is all good. But the impact is basically financial. And of course, in these times, we all need to be very careful about not sinking into a depression. And that has been also a challenge. And trying to kind of not slide into constant anxiety.
So we saw a part of how you get engaged and how you try to find a new hobby. That's a quarantine that we met, or what's Quirona. And what else that you try to fill your time with? I'm sure you're still doing work and other stuff, research and things, but we have this time that we don't know that it exists before. So what do you do with it?
Oh yeah, the time that didn't exist. Like, I'm embracing the fact that I don't have to rush anywhere in the morning.
Cool.
So this is one. I'm trying to sleep and rest, which is very important. I'm binge watching series. But I'm also doing soccer puppets, as you met Quirona. She's the queer Corona, whatever. My friend gave it this name. And I'm actually following the Lebanese drag queens on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Would you recommend that to our audience?
Oh my God, yes, please. yes, they are so funny and so political, so talented. Like, the amount of creativity you see in the drag queens, the Lebanese drag queens Instagram is like just refreshing, because you're like, yeah, okay, so it's not, the word did not end yet. It's refreshing, really.
How can we see them?
You should follow Kaukab Zuhal, Anissa Krana, Diva. All of them are Instagram. Recently, there was a video on Sinoon that came out about the drag ball I went to. And so all the drag queens performing live, and it was such a beautiful night, full of so many talents. Anyway, I just love that scene in specific, and I appreciate it. It's revolutionary by its own.
Yeah, so people, if you are interested, we can also provide you with the accounts so yes. that you can follow and you can see how Lebanese drag queens are rocking it.
Yes, there are also drag queen in Tunisia, Khoukha, and you can also provide that okay. account.
Sure.
There are, I look at comics as well. There's Kika in the city, Kika Fel Medina, there's Sin Noon, and the original socket puppet, which is Labiba. Uh-huh. And Labiba is hilarious. She has a critique about everything. And I look up to Labiba, honestly. Wow. Yeah, she is a socket puppet as well.
Mm. It looks like you are having a good time in quarantine.
I am trying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying. But the thing is, Naziha, I need to say this because, I don't know, I feel like, I'm baking a lot, I'm eating a lot, and eating and not moving as much as we move, it's kind of giving me, making me like a bit insecure and giving me a bit of crisis about my body. But at the same time, you see these mainstream coping mechanisms of yoga and exercise and blah blah blah, and I feel like I can do yoga. I've never been a yoga person. I am a person who does not want to, yeah. you know, meditate. I want to scream. My favorite meditation is being in a protest, you know, and screaming my lungs out. So I just wanted to share with you that each of us has their own coping mechanism.
That's
and I feel like everybody's drifting into kind of feeling the pressure of being connected on the level of coping. So yoga, blah, 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 sports. And I don't feel connected to people like that. I feel connected to people through conversations. I feel connected to the world through, I don't know, sharing series. So I think we each need to kind of discover our own coping mechanisms and not feel pressured into anything, because this is a time where we shouldn't feel any pressure. It's easier said than done.
I agree yeah. with you, and that's amazing that you said it, Maya. And yeah, each one of us has its own. Like I'm cooking a lot. I'm watching series. This is the first time since more than 10 years that I'm going back to watching series.
Wow.
And about the yoga, it's really interesting because I'm never a yoga person, and I Ooh. Never felt like I'm a yoga person, or I don't know how to sit and like relax or something. I do my own stuff to let it out. And yeah. I started yoga, following yoga person, since 18 days. And today was my 18th session on yoga, and it's like half an hour thing. And it's really nice because I'm moving my body, which is something I want to do during
nice.
At home. I was surprised myself that I'm starting to do that, but I thought maybe it's a new thing. Like I will do it because it's a 30-day thing. So maybe yeah. I'll do it for 30 days and I'll stop. Maybe I'll continue. I don't know. But it's a new experience that I'm doing during the quarantine.
Exactly. And how is that making you feel? Do you feel better?
It's just like I need to move. So I need to do either a sport or moving or like some mm-hmm. exercises. And I usually do that following an app or following online thing before even the quarantine, because I'm somebody who is working from home most of the time. So
we need to move.
Yeah. And then like my partner, mentioning like there's this 30 days of yoga, shall we do it? And it's like, okay, I'll join. And I thought like maybe the first day or the second day I will just leave it, but then I'm continuing because it's a lot of movement. I'm challenging my balance, how I can stand for I don't know what on one leg and my other leg behind my
I can imagine you like, because I know you in person and I miss being around your energy, but you're a very energetic person. You're always like all over the place. The idea of you doing yoga is...
Yeah, it's not a very calm yoga. Like even the instructor, she's very fast. to a yoga person, for a yogi person, she's very fast. So yeah. I think we fit. It's fine.
Exactly. But, and this is, I think this is, I mean, people should find that the own thing that makes them feel good about themselves and their bodies in specific. Like, if you feel good about it, then do it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So
this is like applies on life, but this is a chance now for people in quarantine to try it.
To try things.
In a lifetime, they can't, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Try things that you haven't tried before.
Yeah.
Of course, things that are consensual. Sure. And that are about you in specific. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite activity for staying connected while being isolated?
I have a favorite activity, which is replying to people's WhatsApp from time to time. I was writing. And that does not only put me in contact, as much as it's isolating to be a writer anyway, to write and engage with a computer and a Word document, as much as it puts me in connection with the word through other theorists that I like and through other people's word and the way, I mean, reading as well, I mean, writing entails reading. For me as an anthropologist and as a researcher. And I like feeling connected to the world through the goggles of other people. You know, like I look at the world from their lens, and there are stories and ethnographies that are beautiful and stories of people. I also I also talk to my friends, and it's important. I feel like we are not doing that enough. Mm-hmm. We need to keep contact, even though it's very tempting to just shut down and stay at home and sleep, you know, but yeah.
What worries you the most?
Where do I begin, Yanazi? Where do I begin? Worries. I am very worried about Lebanon, about Beirut. I am very worried about Egypt, about the whole region in general. I'm worried about my loved ones in everywhere. My friends in New York, my friends in Cairo, my friends in Beirut, my friends in Lebanon at large, my family, my chosen family, and even the people. I'm worried about the workers that do precarious work. How are they going to feed their families or themselves? I'm worried about the bakers, the domestic workers who are stuck at home, by all means stuck. They are already imprisoned. They are stuck, especially the ones in Lebanon and the Gulf. I can't begin to imagine what they are going through. I'm worried about the police state that is emerging out of this crisis, and I don't like this. Curfews are never good.
No. I agree with you.
Wherever they are never good. Mobility is mobility. We are humans. We need to move. And putting a limit to movement is very dangerous. I think it's threatening. And I think oppressive regimes of powers are taking this specific moment in order to kind of become more rigid. And what is more worrying in Aziha is that they are using a moment of global vulnerability in order to tell people, look, you need us now, so you listen, because we will protect you, you know, for your own sake. And this is, so I'm worried about the police state to come. Or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
But let me tell you.
Tell me.
Let me Let me tell you what I'm not worried about, and this is my last point about worrying. I'm not worried that people will resist the police state, and they will protest it, and they will resist it. It's not going to pass like that, you know. But yeah, and so many things. The amount of domestic violence cases that we are hearing of is not only worrying, it's dangerous. It's life-threatening to a lot of people. And, you know, some people were allowed some break from their abusers when they lived with them, whether their partners or their family members or whosoever they are stuck in a house with. Now they can go out. Mm-hmm. And and that is very worrying. I'm worried about a lot of things, Yanazia.
Yeah, we are all. But you are also a sweet person. So you do worry about things. Okay, moving to a more positive. What are you looking for after all of this ends?
Oh my God! Hugging my friends, traveling. Yeah, traveling and hugging my friends and seeing my friends who are supposed to be somewhere, me and you, right? In the same country.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, and I feel like I just want to feel that moment where we are all kind of remembering that now we are free again to move. And of course mobility is a privilege. Yeah. And yeah, I just want to see my friends, and I look forward to the happiness that will emerge after this quarantine is over. At least, like, you know, these euphoric first few days when you are like feeling like, you know, I can't breathe, and then you're like, oh, sunshine, air.
Looking forward.
Yeah.
Maya, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today for Outright TV. Thank you so much. It's really a pleasure. And we wish you all the luck and to spend more happy times and positive with your puppets or with your friends or with your books and writings. Yeah, we really wish you health and good times till this all ends.
Thank you, Nadia, and send my love to all the Outright team. This has been really fun, and thank you for listening. I know I talked a lot.
No,
I send you a lot of love.
You will enjoy this talk. Yeah. This was Naziha Saeed, the Arabic Media Coordinator, and I spoke to Maya Al-Hilu from Toronto. My colleagues and I will bring back soon, will be back soon with more stories. Stay tuned.